Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have so generously given to us in your Son, Christ Jesus. We pray today as we get into your word that you grant unto us revelation knowledge of your will in the name of Jesus. Help that by your Spirit, our eyes of understanding is better enlightened today in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. So let's just quickly go over some of the things we've discussed before. Because, you know, the way we teach, we build on it so that we can drive some more today. So we've said, we've been talking about one Christ, one Spirit, all right? And the idea is just to, is an overview. We are not even doing a specific study of the Old Testament. We're still going to do that. But just an overview, all right? All of this series is just an overview that will introduce us to further studies about the Old Testament, all right? So one of the things we've said is that, so we are trying to understand the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Second Timothy, let's start with 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, I need to run. Okay, you need to behave yourself, tablet. Otherwise, I will go for something more consistent. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. All right, let's go. So we said, so Paul was writing to Timothy, talking to Timothy here that, Timothy, from a child, you have known the holy scriptures. All right, he said, Timothy, he knew or he has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make him wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, that same scripture, he talked about it in verse 16, all right? He said, all of those scriptures, right, they are given by the inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof that we have, where we have evidence for correction and instruction in righteousness. Now, one of the things we've said in the past is that the word scripture there talks more about what is written. All right? It talks about graphics, things that are scripted down. All right? What is written? All right? If you recall, we've clarified once that God is responsible for the scripture, for the writing of the scripture. That the inspiration God gave is for the writing of the scripture. All right? And that what God is responsible for is the writing of the scripture. We separated that from what was said that was written. All right? Some things were said that was scripted. So we said what was scripted was inspired by God, but not everything. Now, notice we didn't say everything. We didn't say everything. Not all that was said in the Bible was inspired by God. Is that clear? It's a very straightforward, we said, the devil spoke in the Bible. He came to deceive Adam, all right? God didn't inspire the devil to deceive Adam. You understand what I'm saying? But God inspired the documentation of it, all right? So it was written, we will later read in the New Testament, it was written, all right, for our admonition, we said that last. It was written as an example to us. Now, it's not an example to us so that we can learn from their example. It was written so that we can learn. All right? And the dovetailing, is that dovetailing or the climax of all that was written, that was scripted down, it's so that we can have faith in Christ Jesus. All right? What the scripture now, okay? I was going to say those things that were written. So we can say scriptures, right? So what scripture is meant to do for us is to produce faith in Christ Jesus. All right? Now, someone asked, but there are so many other things that happened but was not written. There are other books that were not collated with the Bible. There are other things that we need to read that as well. Well, don't go that far because we have enough that is scripted for us, all right, to produce faith in us. You know, we're having some conversations yesterday that we don't know everything. We don't know everything about God. All right? We don't know everything. Let's be, all right? But we know enough to have faith in God, to have faith in Christ Jesus, to know that what God is up to, God's plan, God's purpose, all right, is in his son, is fulfilled in his son, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So that is what we said in time past. Praise God. Okay. So so that was what we said in time past. And so look at it. We said, which are able to make wise unto salvation. So all that was written, all right, they are able to make wise unto salvation. And look at it again. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So I like to point out there that it says all scripture, all right? I wonder why it didn't say all scriptures. But because all should be plural, right? And every is singular, but it's okay. But all scripture, all right, is given by the inspiration of God, all right? And I like to say that the test, what validates every inspiration, let's start from there today, what validates inspiration, all right? Let me just read that. Every inspiration or revelation is validated by the message it conveys, all right? So I think we've done this sometimes, all right? Revelation, okay, I have the revelation, I have that inspiration. Don't forget where we're coming from. We said all scripture, they are inspired by the Spirit of God, okay? I'm a changed man, praise God. I said that, I'm a very changed man, praise God. Now, just, it has nothing to do with what I was saying. I just said that, and I'll call it, just coming in, and I'm with, praise God. Glory to God. Now you're laughing, God bless you. I don't know why. Praise God. Let's just continue. Let's, because we don't have all the time. Now, we were saying that, scriptures were given by the inspiration of God, and that the test of inspiration, all right, we validate inspiration by the message it conveys. I don't want to give you a revelation that will make you scared, that will make you to lose your sleep, for example, all right? But the point I want to write here is that likewise, the inspiration of the scripture is tested and affirmed by what it reveals. The inspiration of the scripture is tested, is affirmed by what it reveals. And if you are reading here in verse 16, it says, it says, it's able to make wise. So the intent of the scripture is to produce faith, or is to produce wisdom, enough wisdom to make someone saved. And that salvation comes by faith in Christ Jesus. That is all that the scripture is able to is able to make wise unto. Praise God. All right. Christ is the substance and the focus and the fulfillment of every scriptural testimony. Christ is the focus of it, is the fulfillment of it, and is the substance, what you can hold on to. All right, you know, you can learn from the wisdom governance tips of Joseph, or the dynamics of walking in exile as Daniel taught it. All right, what else? Some strategy of David and all of the. Now, it's all right, okay, because they are there in the scripture. But what we are saying is that the substance, what we can hold on to, what the scripture teaches, the framework, the bone, the substance of the scripture, all right, is in Christ Jesus. And like we've said before, all right, I hope I'm not taking too much time on this because we are traveling the distance, all right, that if you draw, the only topic that you can draw from the scripture that you won't hang, all right, that has a start and finish, all right, is the only topic from Genesis to Revelation that we can draw, all right? Not that there are no topics. The Bible talks about marriages, talks about some wisdom tips on finance, on being diligent in your work, talks about, governance, you know, Solomon's wisdom and all of those, all right? The Bible teaches that. But then what you can trace, all right, from origin to revelation is faith through Christ Jesus. All right. If you want to do marriage, the way the Bible teaches it. If you want to really do work, the way the Bible teaches it. If you want to someone says, entrepreneurship the Bible way. Business had moved on. Praise God. All right. But what stays? We can gather some lessons here and there, no doubt. All right. But what stays? What we can teach, we can learn, we can hold on to the substance, very substance of God's word. All right. Of scripture. Scripture now. Of what was scripted. All right, let's use the text or the terminology that we're reading here is in God's word. Hallelujah. First Peter, let's read scriptures now. First Peter, please, you're going to read a lot of scriptures today. First Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 12. Another person, please help us open to Second Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. But let's read this first. First Peter chapter 10. First Peter chapter 1. If you're there, please help me read. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, 11 and 12.
The prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, search intently and with the greatest care. That's verse 10.
Please read on now.
Okay, I should read verse 10. Trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing.
All right.
The sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that
will come. Thank you. So we can read from there that the prophets, all right, they spoke about the salvation and they diligently searched for that salvation. And in their searching, you will see them in the Old Testament, right? Amos, Jeremiah, Daniel, Obadiah, Micah. We're going to do a proper study on those books, okay? Now, it says all that they were talking about, summarily, okay, is that they were talking about a particular salvation, all right? So when you read all of those books, we are reading Numbers now, yeah, Leviticus in our word feast now, right? Now, if you look at the back of those writers, all right, there's something they were looking forward to. Even Abraham, Bible says Abraham looked forward for his city, all right? In shadows, in types, but then it says they were prophesying a grace that should come. At the time, that grace will come, should come. But actually, if you look at that word, that should come, is in italics, right? Because that grace now came or come unto us, all right? Now, they were searching, all right? And what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ. So there's a Spirit of Christ in them. There's an inspiration within them, all right? That inspiration drove them to seek to testify, all right, beforehand, the suffering of Christ and the glory that, again, telling us that that inspiration, all right, is of Christ. Praise God. The test of whatever they are saying is of Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Let's read together.
Verse 20 and 21.
Thank you, sir. Yes?
It says, knowing this first,
okay,
that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Thank you. Yes?
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, for only men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. All right? So look at it. It says, you should know this first, that no prophecy of the scripture. So of the scriptures, things that were scripted down, none of those prophecies there are of any private interpretation. Again, the way I have interpreted here before is I'm not allowed to give it a private interpretation. You're not allowed to give it a private, but that's not what it's saying. All right. If you look at that in that private there, that interpretation there means origin. All right. So it's more of source than interpretation. Well, why it was given interpretation, maybe we need to study that. But if you look at the meaning of that interpretation, it's origin. So what it's saying definitely is this, that the prophecy came from a source. That's why it's the same. Though the times of the prophecies were different, all right? Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Judges, all of those kings, all right? The times were different, but all they were saying is from the same thing. So what you were saying, Ianu, all right, is the same thing. So it is the same person. So it's like me telling you, tell them Jesus, 1999. Tell them Jesus, 1992. Different times, all right? But the same person, they say the same inspiration was behind all that they were saying across the years of the scripture. Again, to strengthen that fact that the revelation of the scripture testifies about one person, all right? Now, you know, we are saying this because we are believers, all right? All right? You know, so believers too need to be fed. They're just feeding ourselves on the same thing. All right? So this is not evangelism. This is Bible study for us as believers. So we feed our mind. We are guarded correctly. Let's again strengthen that. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. So who doesn't mind if I want to focus on someone today? I will appear as if I'm talking to you alone, okay? So that I just want you, so that I point it to you, okay? The idea is just so everybody, if you can get it, I'm sure everybody's getting it. Praise God. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Yes.
Now to him who is able to establish and strengthen you in the faith, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery of the plan of salvation.
Now look at that. Okay, yeah.
Which has been kept secret for long ages past.
Oh, wait a minute. It says, here it says, before the world began. So that mystery of salvation, it didn't just start, again, to let us know it's from a source, from an origin. So it's not a fluke or something that we just, that, oh, Adam now disappointed God, quote unquote, all right? God now said, who will I send? Jesus, all right? That's not the narrative, all right? We send Jesus, but that's not the narrative, all right? He had proposed that from the, before the world began, all right? Now, let's continue, verse 26.
But now has been disclosed.
Now, sorry, so let me interrupt you. Now, will that revelation yet be disclosed?
No.
Is it been disclosed?
It has been disclosed.
Oh, so we now can know the mind of God. Praise God. Okay, so, but now made manifest, yes? How?
Through the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all the nations.
Thank you. So, it says, and through the prophet, so I like the way KJV puts it. It says, and through the scriptures of the prophets. All right? We call it prophetic scriptures. All right? It says, through the scriptures that, through the scripts, quote unquote, that the prophets wrote down. All right? So, if you go through all of those, or if you go through the scripts, the scripture that the prophets wrote, the scriptures of the prophets, all right, what we will see there will be that revelation, that mystery, the revelation of the mystery that was kept since the world began. Since the world began. We're going to look at that at another time. He calls it the mystery kept secret. Let's not go there today, okay? But let's leave that. We'll come back to that. But we need to. What I want us to know there is that there is a message, there is a plan, there is an inspiration, all right, by the Spirit of God God intends to communicate from before the world began, all right. Probably read 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21-20 that the holy men were moved. All right, we explained that. All right, meaning we're moved. That word "moved" there is, you know, God had a purpose, a plan. It was going in a direction. And men, all right? So the Holy Spirit did not just move men in that sense. The Spirit of God was already moving. Moving in the direction of what he was going to do in his son. All right? And men actually submitted their will, all right, to the plan and purpose of God. Even then, all right, and as they submit their plan, they were moved by the Spirit of God. You get what I mean, all right? So it's still a function of the will of the men of the old time, all right, as they partner, quote unquote, as they join in with the will of God, with the purpose of God, with the moving Spirit, with the already moving Spirit of God, all right, that started moving from the world, before the world began, and the Spirit of God brewed upon the sea. We're going to talk about that later on in our study of Genesis, all right? When you hear the word sea, what does that mean? Is it just brooding upon the waters? We come back there so that we're not distracted, okay? So the Spirit of God began to move, all right? And, you know, and as the message is being communicated, as God began to reveal himself in types, in shadows, in fragments, in portions, all right? Men begin to align to it as we are aligned to God's will now, and he moved them along. All right, as he moved them, all right, he told them things, he showed them things, all right, and they prophesied those things, and it was scripted down for our learning, for our instruction, and for our edification and understanding of the things that God is doing. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 10, chapter 12, verse 10. Let's see again. We are trying to drive in that the test of what validates inspirations, revelations, all right, is the message that it carries. And here again, we are now, and we said likewise, the inspiration behind the scripture, we're saying that inspiration is Christ Jesus. Praise God. And we'll be reading scriptures about around that from, since we started today. Now, Revelation chapter 12. I think we've read this before in this series. Revelation chapter 12. Okay. Please read verse 11.
And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
All right.
For they love not their life even unto death.
Praise God. The scripture, particular scripture I'm looking for, that's relevant as well, is where it says the revelation, the testimony of the scripture is Christ. I will get it. Give me 1 second. The revelation of the scripture. It's in Revelation. The revelation of the scripture is Christ. 1 second. I have it written somewhere. And we are faster than me. You can please help me get it out so we can read. 19:10. Sorry. 19:10. Not 12:10. 19:10. That's very relevant as well. That word of their testimony is Christ Jesus. But we explained that last week. Yes, thank you.
Worship him. And he said unto me, sit down, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. Sorry, is it?
Yeah, that's it. Please continue.
And of thy brethren.
Yes.
That have the testimony of Jesus.
Yep.
Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Did you see that? All right. So he said the testimony of Jesus. Let me say what that is. Let me clarify that. It says the talking, the testimony of Jesus, the preaching of Jesus. All right. What is behind it? All right. It says the spirit of prophecy. So let's do that better. What is behind every prophecy? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Is that clear? I'll read that again. It says because the testimony of Jesus. All right, the speaking of Jesus, the evidence of Jesus, the witnessing about Jesus is the spirit of every prophecy. There's no every day, I'm just the one. It says of the prophecy. Please, sir, go ahead, sir. Do it.
Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. He said, do not worship me. I'm a servant of God, just like you. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy.
Thank you.
Is to give a clear witness for Jesus.
Okay? Very straightforward. All right, the essence. All right, so all that we've said earlier, all that we said up to this point is that Christ is the essence, is the evidence, is the inspiration, all right, of the prophecies. And where are we going to see the prophecies? All right, with the prophets. We're going to study that later on. All we're doing today is just an overview. All right, so but then last week we talked about the fact that yes. The prophets prophesied. The prophets spoke, all right, on behalf of God, as we have seen, all right, as we have studied up to now, that there's an inspiration. But one of the things we said last week, all right, that a major portion of last week is that they spoke in portions. We were careful to tell, not to label them as ignorant. They are not ignorant men. You won't say that Abraham was ignorant. You won't say that they don't know about God. All right? You won't say that Moses did not know God. We can't say that. We may be tempted today to say, oh, Moses, no. We know better to say that. They are not ignorant men. All right? They knew God. All right? But what we said about them is that what they knew about God was limited. And even we calling it limited, we need to be careful. All right? Because if you say that Moses is an ignorant man, then it faults all of the scripture. So it means that because Moses is the major, is the foundational writer of the scripture. All every other prophet relied on what Moses said. It was what that gave us what's that? Abraham, what do you call that? Foresight is the one.
Hindsight.
All right? Because, you know, Moses wrote Genesis for the children of Israel. All right? So that they can know where their faith came from. He wrote all of those. You know, we're going to do Genesis properly. I don't want to go into that yet. Moses wrote that for the children of Israel. Okay? So he wrote it down. He wrote Exodus for them. All right? What led us there? We're saying that, yeah, what they knew about God, so it was in portion. Even at that, it was in portion. Let me say it better. It was progressively in portion. It was progressive. It was in portion. It was in fragment. We read Hebrews chapter 1. You want to help us? We're going to read NLT again. Let's see. But let's read TPT. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's read TPT. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Please pay attention. We're going to put all, you know, we said prophecy. We now need to contextualize those prophecies. All right? Please, let's listen.
Throughout our history, mm-hmm. God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many ways.
Okay, pay attention. Now, these prophets and these prophecies, those are the prophecies we've been saying that the inspiration behind them, it's Christ. But then let's look at this detail, this fine in-between the line details with what they were saying. Please read.
The revelation he gave them was only a fragment at the time.
Look at that.
Building one truth upon another.
Oh, did you see the point? All right. So the revelation he gave them was a fragment at a time. All right, and in doing that, it was progressive, building one truth. Is that how did they put it?
Building one truth upon another.
All right, at a time. So let's see what NLT says. How did NLT put it? Or who has message? Message. And let's consider all of those. NLT. Anybody?
Yeah.
Go for it, sir. Go for it.
Okay. Verse 1.
Yeah. Verse 1.
Long ago,
God
spoke many times.
Many times.
And in many ways.
In many ways.
To our ancestors.
Okay.
Through the prophets.
So he didn't put, okay. Okay. But TPT says fragment and all. Okay. Who has message?
Message.
Anybody? That? Oh, read it. Olabisi. Let's see.
Going through a long line of prophets.
Okay.
Our ancestors in different ways for centuries.
Okay.
Recently, he spoke to us directly through his son.
Okay, thank you. So he spoke to the fathers through the prophets. All right, in many ways. All right. Now let's just move forward so that we can save time because I'm looking at my time. All right. Praise God. Now, sorry. Amplified. Thank you. I was going to read Amplified. Let's read Amplified.
Long ago.
So God spoke to the fathers long ago.
The voices are written of the prophets.
Okay. So look at that again. That's important. The voices and the writings. Now those writings, would that be the scriptures? No. All right. Thank you.
In many separated revelations.
So they were disjointed revelations. Okay. Should I call it disjointed? Sure. Let's call it separate revelation. Okay. Go.
Each of which sets forth a portion of the truth.
Okay. Okay. All right. Look at it. It says each of those prophecies, all right, sets a portion of the truth. So it would be difficult, for example, for me to see a strand, permit my illustration, so that a strand of your hair, all right, to now say that I know you. But yet, that hair is still part of you. But that fragment, that portion, cannot give me the full details, all right, of yourself. So it would be difficult to say, oh, they don't know God. They know God. But as we've read, in portion, in fragment, one truth, a portion of truth at a time. Praise God. Let's drive further, all right? So we must know, let's boot the two thoughts together now. Even though it was in fragment, there's an inspiration behind it, all right? We're going to talk more later on about why was it in fragments, Right? Was God hiding himself? Was God playing hide and seek? Why couldn't God just reveal everything? Why didn't just, well, you know, why? All right? We'll look at that, okay? Because the Bible also teaches us all of these things, okay? Praise God. Second Peter, let's do Second Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Just again to show, to just buttress the point. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. So look, see what it says. All right, it says we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What he's saying that we have a, when it says more sure, meaning we have a better, we have a better overview, all right, of prophecy. All right, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Now as now it was not it was going to describe prophecies, all right? He says, as unto, now look at the way he's going to talk about the prophecies. Notice what he was saying here is that we have a more sure. So if you use more, meaning you are comparing, all right? More, all right? So he was comparing what we have now, all right, to be quote unquote more sure than the prophecies that had been, all right? He was not going to clear, he was going to say something, just again, as unto, it's like, what figure of speech is that? I don't know. But then, comparing is a comparison. It says, as unto a light that shines in darkness. So that light that shines in darkness was describing the giving of the light. Now, of the prophecies in a dark place. Now, what it's saying is that that light there is like a foggy light. Like a light. It's a light, but it's not a clear light. All right, like the light of the dawning of the morning when it's about to break forth. All right, you can see the sun, but it's not clear. It says, until the daylight arises in our hearts. All right, so it's saying that that light, okay, was given, of course, with those lights, it gets better, 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 better until the noonday. And that day star there talks about Christ, that Christ is that height of the revelation of the light that was being given. So light, of course, we've seen light of God. John, we talk about it also, that he's saying, you know, that there are several lights. It now calls Christ Jesus that true light, that day star, that new light, that daylight, all right? He says that light now, he says now has risen in our heart. Talking about the fragments and the portion type of our kind of revelation that the men of the Old Testament have. Praise God. All right. But then let's quickly move forward and talk more about some more bits today. In the midst of the relationship, one of the things we've said earlier, we've defined what Old Testament is, what the New Testament is. Okay. We're not going to go into that so that we can use the remaining few minutes we have to travel in more distance today. In the dealings of what we call the Old Testament, all right? That was what I wrote while trying to publicize today. It says, while yet in that New Testament, sorry, in that Old Testament, God promised a new covenant, all right? And it's worth for us to study. While in the Old Testament, because it was Jeremiah that we first prophesied that, all right? Maybe we should read that. Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's go there. Jeremiah chapter 31. Paul and Praise, thank you today. You didn't distract me today. I need to give you a high five. You are good boys, good girls. Good boys. Thank you. And you should continue with that, okay? And Paul, good to know that you guys are very obedient boys. We should appreciate them for that. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. Look at it. It says, again, it says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Now, see in the description, pay attention, friends. Sorry. I will put my law in their inward parts. I will write it in their hearts. They will be, and will be their God. And verse 34. Let's go to 34. Let's save time. And they shall teach no more Every man is neighbor. Now, here he's not saying that we don't need a pastor to teach us. We don't need teachers. That's not what he's saying. We'll talk about that later on. And every man is brother, saying know the Lord. Now look at it. Look at the bit there that I want to pull out. All right. It says, for they shall all know me. So he says, in that new covenant, all right, it says they will know me. And we taught on that last week to say that already paints a picture that the men that Jeremiah was writing to, all right, quote and unquote, I'm careful to call them, they don't know God, all right? But it says here that they will know me. Let's put it better, with all that we've studied, they will know me better, all right? They will have a better knowledge of me, all right? So it's in the, so we need to now, with that understanding, pay attention. Or read what they wrote, all right? If what they wrote, if all the prophets, if there's yet a better covenant that will make us know God, all right? Then we need to be careful how we read the Old Testament, all right? And know that it is a portion. There is yet a progressive light. There is yet a daylight. There is yet more light that is coming that will make everything clear. All right. Now we can now say clearly that it is in Christ Jesus, all right, that we understand who God is. Not from the lens of Moses, not from the lens of Joshua, not from the lens, all right. You know, it took us time to get to that point. We are not discarding Moses, all right. No, there's a lot to learn from Moses, a lot. Because the Bible, we affirm that it was faithful in all his dealings. All right? So we need to just read it in that light. But then, let's come on. All right? So the light of God, the understanding of God that we have, that we can hold on to, all right? There's something I should have said before saying this, all right? But then, don't worry, I'll say it still, is from Christ Jesus. So let me say what I wanted to say. All right? Therefore, we must read and study the Old Testament from where we now stand, in the New Testament. We must read and study the Old Testament from our present position in Christ, knowing that the full light has now been made bare, clear to us, all right? And we now stand in that light. The Bible says he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, that kingdom of light. So we now can stand in the light and see the full picture. The Bible talks to us about Jesus Christ, that is the perfect image of God, is the full representation of God to us. So we cannot stand in the New Testament, quote and unquote New Testament, because again, it's not a document, all right? But in Christ is where we stand now and have a better understanding of who God is. So we do not read as those who are awaiting the promise. No. Because there's a tweak in our mind as we, so the men of the Old Testament, they wrote awaiting, all right? But in reading what they wrote down, what they scripted down, we don't read it with that mindset of awaiting. We read it now as fulfilled in Christ. Praise God. All right? So we don't read as those awaiting the promise, or those, again, when I say this, how can I call the knowledge of Moses limited? It's heavy, all right? It's almost outrageous, but that's what the Bible teaches. Because Jesus will appear to us in 1 John, all right? John, but better put, we write about John, so we write about Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 19, thereabout. He says, no one at any point has seen the Father. He says, but he that came from his bosom has declared him, all right? That, the way we put it in our parlance, it shakes the table. Are you saying Moses didn't see God? Are you saying all of those prophets, Isaiah? All right, we've said they saw God, but it's in portion. But Jesus Christ, John told us that he declared full representation, nothing to hide. All right, no more portions or fragments. It is in Christ Jesus that we saw the full image of him. And that's the understanding with which we read the Old Testament, okay? So we don't read as those awaiting the promise, or those with limited or progressive knowledge, but as those in whom the promise has been fulfilled. Now we're in the kingdom of light. We are able to look back and understand the Old Testament in retrospect, all right? What was once limited, all right, has now been made full. What was once a shadow has now become clear in the light of Christ. All right? From our position in him, the types, the figures, the prophecies, all right, add their true or have their true meaning and their fulfillment in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What I want us to do with our remaining time is just to look at some of those knowledge, all right? Some of those fragments or fragmented portion of knowledge that men had in the Old Testament, all right? But now in the New Testament, all right, we can better clarify it. We now have a clearer light, a fuller light, a light that has been declared clear, that we can now with that light go back in retrospect, all right, to read what they were saying, and we can pick one or two things out. Hallelujah. Let's do that quickly. Let's do that quickly. Now, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to do some things quickly. Romans chapter 5. Verse 12. Look at it. Therefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned, for all have sinned. Okay? Now, if you read the Genesis story or the Genesis account of this, you won't see any death. Well, God told Adam that if you eat this, all right, you will die. All right? But then, we have a clearer light, a better light. We can now pimp. Someone that says, oh, did God made death? How? Well, God did not make that death. All right? We know at what point in the history of mankind, all right, that death came in. So up until Genesis 3, when Adam, you know, was deceived, all right, or disobeyed, or did not believe and, you know, yielded himself to the devil, you know, all right, there wasn't death at the point. There wasn't death, all right? So death is not a creation of God. Death is a consequence of man's disobedience. Death is a consequence of sin. So the new light, or the light in Christ Jesus, helps us to clarify that we know, just like saying, this milk, you know, I like to say it, all right? If I have my milk, all right, and I put it in the refrigerator, all right, and I use it as I should, you know, it will never get bad. But if I put that milk and I put it outside in a bad in a temperature that is not favorable for that milk, all right, the milk in a day or two, we get soggy, we coagulate, we start smelling foul. All right. Now, did the cow make that milk bad? No. Did the milk produce a bad milk? No. Oh, sorry, did the cow produce a bad milk? No. All right. So a bad milk is not a creation of the cow. All right, but was a consequence of a bad treatment of what has been created. All right, that may never have happened, or that will never happen if was treated well, if was used well, if was placed under the right condition. All right, so we know at what point that death came in. We know clearly, all right, that death came in. So because of sin, and we now know from a better light when sin came in. Hallelujah. And that sin came in to mankind's history at a point in history. All right. Now we can now begin to decipher better. Praise God. And so sin therefore affected the perception of man. All right. Affected the perception of man. All right. The lenses through which they now understand God. Because now, you know, death is actually separation. All right. So because they were separated from God. All right. Therefore, mankind cannot really understand God, all right? And it was from that perspective that men of the Old Testament wrote, all right? Wrote the scripture that we now need to better clarify. Praise God. Now, let's put something better. Second Corinthians chapter 2. We're still going to read some scriptures. Second Corinthians chapter 2. Praise God. Isaiah himself was going to write this. See what Isaiah said. I know the way we've used this scripture. You know, let's read it. Let me not preempt it. Chapter 2, verse 9. Let's start from verse 9. I'll read quickly. You know the way we used to write this. You know, it was Isaiah that prophesied this. He says, but as it is written, eyes has not seen it, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Don't forget, it was Isaiah that prophesied this. He was saying that, hey, we have a lot of prophecies. We have a lot of things. We've seen miracles. We've crossed the Red Sea. We've seen, you know, different miracles, okay? But he's saying, yet, eyes have not seen it. You know, we used to use this for, oh, eyes have not seen my car. Eyes have not seen my house. That's not what he's saying, all right? What he's saying here is that God yet had a purpose for them that love him. All right, now look at it. Let's read on. Verse 10. He says, but now God had revealed them. And in revealing it is a full revelation, all right, unto us by his spirit. So therefore, it means that it takes the spirit of God to know the things that God wants to reveal. I said that better. It takes the spirit of God to understand God, to better know God. Praise God. Isaiah himself confirmed that. So sin made it that way, that the mind of, we're going to look at it next week, okay, that the mind of man, all right, particularly, you now see, Jesus will now arrive on the scene and was not able to clearly talk to them. All right? Was not able to clearly talk in plain terms. He will now begin to talk in parables. All right? Now, notice Jesus spoke to them in parables, not because he wanted to hide things, but because at the time, the mind, that's what they can understand. All right? Jesus will later tell us, when he was about to, after doing all that he had done, he says, I have many more things to tell you, many more. And if you read the context, he's saying many more comparing to what I've said already. All right? He says, but I'm not able to tell them because they are not able to bear it. It takes the spirit of God within a man to fully understand God. And we are reading here that God by his spirit, all right, has now revealed those things to us. Praise God. All right? So when you read, let's just one study, we'll maximize the time, just one, all right? That when you read, for example, when you read the New Testament, particularly the epistle, all right, the nature of God is made plain. Nobody needs to persuade us, if you read all of the epistle, that God does not kill. All right? It's so clear. All right? In Christ, God is revealed as the giver of life, not the destroyer. Jesus will tell us that I had come, the full representation, the full picture of God, that I have come, all right, to not to destroy, but to save life. All right? He said, I didn't come to kill anybody. And we've seen different examples of him that we don't call down fire and kill people. He didn't come to destroy. That's the full picture of God. That's through the lens that we can understand God. It means that, so what happens to all the killings of the Old Testament? Well, we have a true light now that tells us things better, okay? So, the revelation of the Father through the Son corrects the distorted perceptions and it anchors our understanding on the finished work of Christ. I just want to share some things as we wrap up. 1 Corinthians. So from the light now, from the full revelation of God through Christ Jesus, now I want to see something, all right? I want us quickly to study death. Death, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Don't forget, this will be the understanding that we will all take to the Old Testament, right? Yeah. So this will be the... So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. Who can help me read that, please? Help me read.
The last enemy,
all right,
that shall be destroyed,
all right,
is death.
So what did he call death there?
Enemy.
All right? If you look at that context, the enemy of God, the enemy of Christ, in that Christ, you see, because God was talking to Christ here, all right? Again, another prophecy of David, all right, in his psalm. But let's say, he said, for he must reign. That's Christ must reign until all his enemies have been put under his feet, all right? He calls that enemy death. He says that enemy is death. All right? And Jesus came. Bible says Jesus, the Son of God, had come, all right, to destroy the works of the devil. All right? So he came to destroy the works of the devil. Enemy, death is the work of the devil. Let's read some more. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. So when you hear death, so death is not a tool that God uses. Correct? Death is an enemy of God. Is that correct? Praise God. Hebrews chapter 2. We just want to do a quick study of death. All right? Maybe God, you know, you hear some stories that, oh, that man of God, God took him away so that I won't sin. God doesn't, that's not consistent with the nature of God that we now know in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. I read quickly. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same. Now pay attention to this bit, that through death he might destroy him. I like this bit because it clarified it. Him that had the power of death. That is, who had the power of death? Who has had the power of death? The devil. All right? So, if the devil has the power of death, all right, it can't be God killing. All right? Jesus himself will tell us that a tree cannot bear two fruits. All right? A good fruit will bear good fruits. A bad tree will bear bad fruit. All right? He's telling us that, hey, what comes from a tree, all right, is good. All right? God gives light. We read more in James that he's the father of light. He says there's no shadow of turning in him. All right? So there's no death in Christ. Now, John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. 1 John 5, 19. You got it? He says, and we know that we are of God. Look at it. And what? And the old world lies in wickedness. In fact, if you read it in a better, it says, and in a better way, that word wickedness means the old world lies under the sway of the wicked one. All right? So it is the devil that deals with darkness. All right? But if you read all of the Old Testament, you won't see all of those. All of those, because it was in portion, they don't have the full light. They attribute death to God. They attribute killings to God. All of those that happen, all right? And they themselves, they partner with him. Praise God. It was Jesus that came in the New Testament that starts pointing out the devil. Jesus will come and arrive on the scene. And we say, that is the devil. And we begin to cast them out. That was not done until Christ Jesus. Yeah. All right? People, before then, it's God. God, it came from God. Job, we don't have time to study Job today. Job, you know, gave us a lot about, you know, we need to know that Job spoke about what he knew. Okay, maybe we'll look at Job next week, okay? I didn't have enough time to cover Job today, all right? But Job, you know, let's read something about Job. Job, just one thing before we wrap up. Job chapter 42. Job 42. Let's go to Job 42. We are now going to the conclusion of Job. All right. Now we're going to look at Job in a more detailed fashion next week. I'm just conscious that our time is gone, and I just want to land carefully today so that we can pick it up from there next week. And Job 42 verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Verse 2, you asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Now look at it. Therefore, see what Job said. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. So, that is the conclusion. All right? Now, but then, before now, that's chapter 42. Job and his friend had said many things that people held on to. That God give, God takes. That, you know, so many things that Job said that people had now attributed, but the speaker, the person saying it, say, I'll just say what I don't know. Can you imagine? He said it. He says, hey, all that I've said, I don't know. All right? He says, please listen, let me speak. You said, I will question you and you can answer me. All right? Look at it, verse 5. It says, I have heard you by the hearing of the air, by rumor. All right? By that hearing there is rumor. Look at it, therefore. Look at it. Therefore, look at what he said, Job. All right, verse 6. Therefore, I harbor myself and repent. So it means he repented. To repent means you change your mind. Is that what it means to repent? So he says, I change my mind. And he has said so many things, but yet scripted. It's part of the scripture. Hallelujah. We'll look at that better in the coming week. So Jesus came to reveal the devil, to destroy the work of the devil, to point out the devil and to unmask the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God. So all that we are saying today is that it is in Christ Jesus that we know who the Father is. And it is through that light where we stand in Christ Jesus today that we, with retrospect, read all that was said in the scripture. Permit me another 1 second, 1 minute, because I want to land on this. Look at how Moses wrote the story of Cain and Abel. He just said that Cain hates his brother and got a club or something and just killed him. But we get a better light that the devil was behind the scene. All right? In John, 1 John chapter 3, let's read it. 1 John chapter 3. Let's read it. 1 John chapter 3. We read it last week. I just want to read again. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. He says, not as Cain. All right? Not as Cain. Who was of that wicked one? What did he do? So, who was Cain? Please help me. Who was Cain, friends? He was of the wicked one. He was of the wicked one. So, the wicked one motivated him. The devil motivated him. Of course, he was painted as an unbeliever. He didn't believe God. We now know who is behind all unbelief. Bible says the God of this world in the New Testament in a clearer light. All right. He's behind every unbelief. All right. He blinds the mind of the unbeliever so that they can't see the light. All right. All right. And slew him. All right. It says because his works were evil. One more scripture and we close today. John chapter 4, chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. I want us to read that quickly. And it will be the basis on which we're going to wrap up today. John 8, 44. Look at it. I read it quickly. It says, you are of your... This is a big statement from Jesus to the Israelites here, or to the Pharisees here. See what it says. It says, you are of your father, the devil. And the desire of your father, the devil, you want to do. Look at it. It says he was a murderer from when? He recently became a murderer. So when is the beginning? We said it also that Genesis is the beginning. Genesis is not the law. Genesis is the beginning. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, we classify them as the law. From the beginning, from Genesis, he was a murderer. So it's now clear, all right? That all of the death that we see in the scripture, there is one man responsible for it. The man that has the power of death, that is the devil. All right? So truly, there's no death in God. All right? There's no killings in our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're going to continue from this next week, just so that we know where to stand. Last week, we told ourselves how to deal with the devil. We resist him. We don't tolerate the devil. Like Job. Like men of the Old Testament that say, oh, God gives, you know, it's just the devil, it's evil spirit from God. Well, we saw Jesus casting those evil spirits out. It's not from God. All right? Why we study a lot of this is to give us knowledge, strength, all right? Equip us with how to deal with it. We resist him. We cast him. We resist him. Praise God. All right? And Bible says, he will flee from us. He will flee from us. Hallelujah. I hope we've been blessed today. We're going to continue from this next week, okay? Trying to juxtapose the Old Testament and the New Testament and see the lessons we can learn from there, all right? From where we now stand, that we are men of light. Hallelujah. Praise God.